Hey, everybody, welcome to Collaboration Week. We've got our connection activity for you today. K-Dub is going to lead us through some of the things that have worked great for him. We appreciate you joining. Now let's hear from K-Dub.
Yeah, let's get it started. So this week is collaboration week, and rather than giving you guys a connection activity that is like interactive thing that you would do with your students or collect from your peers, we've all been in staff meetings where there's time to connect, and I think doing something where people have an opportunity to just check in about how their day was or something like that. I think doing that really organically is usually more successful. So I'm not going, at least in my experience and how I feel about those things. So I'm not going to give you like a, hey, here's a great icebreaker for a staff meeting thing. Plus when you're in a PLC, you don't necessarily need an icebreaker. So instead, what I wanted to talk about were some things that have been foundational to successful PLCs that I have been a part of. And the first thing that I want to talk about is like the difference between like an agreement or a norm and a rule. This was something that came up in a new PLC that I actually just joined the other day for my school. And as we were talking about things, the person who was leading it had this really great way of phrasing about how rules are kind of restrictive and agreements and norms allow us to accept that we're going to make mistakes and just kind of are like reminders of what we're aiming for versus like things that we're not allowed to do and having that freedom. So I really liked that thought process. And so some of the agreements and norms that I've always tried to focus on is always providing a space to vent. And something that I've evolved in as it relates to having space to vent is on my coaching staff. I used to have a rule. We had a couple of things that we would always talk about for how we were going to work together. And one of the agreements or rules that I had was that it was okay to whine as long as you offered a solution. And as I've done more learning about social emotional things and worked on those things a little bit more, got more insight from my wife who works in the counseling realm, I've realized that it's actually okay to just not solve things, right? Like it's okay to just sit with that discomfort and accept that like, hey, there's this really annoying thing that we don't have any control over. It's okay to vent about that and then move on. I do think it's still important to move on and like get the work done. Like we can't just spend the whole time venting, but I think providing that space is important because it allows people to acknowledge like what's happening in part of their brain. An example of what happens when you don't do this, we just had a staff meeting this week at our school, and we just got an announcement from our district that they want us to go back to hybrid learning on April 12th. They didn't tell us what that was going to look like. They didn't tell us like what the schedule was going to be. Just, hey, we're going to go back to high school hybrid instruction on April 12th. And so that happened like 2 hours before our staff meeting. So all of the teachers were wondering and thinking about that, and it never got addressed in the staff meeting. And so we were not very productive because people were frustrated that that wasn't even acknowledged. So I think always providing that space is really important. And then another thing that I have found really helps, whether it's a PLC moment or if you're in a position where you're helping lead a staff meeting, where you're kind of facilitating as a teacher leader, in a professional development opportunity, is to acknowledge the expertise in the building or the room and to really make sure that you give credit to other people who have helped you along the way. I think that what that does is it kind of lowers the tension in the room and allows people to feel like it's okay to make mistakes and it's okay to chat and to understand that this isn't a top-down situation. This is just one person sharing something that's been successful for them. And in my experience, that has really lowered the resistance to change that you can sometimes experience when you're bringing something up with a group of teachers. Because we all know that sometimes there's a little bit of that pushback of like, well, what I'm doing is working. Why are you telling me I need to do something different? And I think when you acknowledge that what you're doing works for you and why it works for you and or your students, but that things might be different from space to space, it really lowers that tension level and kind of reduces some of the walls that you might find. And then ultimately, I think with any PLC, the important thing is to stay productive. You don't, I don't think you necessarily need to have like a minute by minute agenda that works for some people. And if it works for you, that's great. But I do think it's really important to be productive. I'm a huge believer in the phrase that people don't hate meetings, they hate bad meetings. Right. So like if you can keep a meet, like I feel really good about walking out of a meeting where I feel like we accomplished something, right? Like either, hey, we got that lesson planned, or we figured out a way to intervene for this particular student, or we have a new idea for what our school is going to do regarding equity moving forward, whatever that is. Like if there's something tangible that I can walk out of there with thinking that we checked something off the list, then I'm going to feel pretty good about the meeting. When I don't feel good about a meeting, and I think this is the same for most people, it's when you feel like it could have been an email. Right, especially in this day and age where meetings are happening on Zoom, and a lot of us are kind of hitting our own walls with however long we've been involved with dealing with the pandemic and being on Zoom meetings all the time. I think there is a barrier there. So again, if you can stay focused on being productive, then I think people will be less frustrated with the fact that there was a meeting. And Tim, I have a feeling, just based on your facial expression that you gave there, that you feel pretty similarly about that productivity component.
100%. Like, I would argue to say there is very few things that annoy me more than sitting in an hour and a half where we are spinning our wheels. There's no traction forwards. And yes, I 100% agree with you that like it's good to be able to have that space to have conversation and do a little vent, especially like early in the planning. Like we actually just had a similar meeting to this when we're introducing two different math kind of, I guess, almost intervention type classes that are coming in. One that's to catch the freshmen that are like have massive gaps coming in. And so it's going to be like a pre-algebra, algebra, double class period. Like it's going to be a lot of math. And so, you know, you've got people that are concerned that, oh, well, that's going to knock out their elective opportunities, and it's going to take away these, you know, certain, you know, extracurriculars and all the stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's obviously like a trickle down effect to it, but by the time we were done with that hour and a half meeting, like it didn't feel like we accomplished anything, and I was like, and we didn't even like circle back to like the big ideas that we talk about in here all the time of like, oh, well, you know, kids are going to feel stupid if they're in this recovery group. And like, they're like, oh, no, you got to sell it. Like, it's not a stupid thing. And, you know, can we just like for a moment be real and say every single math class needs to be sold like as an exciting experience? Like all learning really should be an exciting experience. And
like, absolutely.
It's going to be a different type of math class where they're going to be excited to be there for 2 hours. They're not going to dread it. I'm like, if you have a 1 hour math class that they dread coming to, you need to change your teaching, you know? So I don't know. I just didn't feel like we were productive. And so I 100% agree that that's so weird.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that you bring up like that idea of like coming up with something new and some of the comments that you talked about. I think another thing that can be a source of frustration in a PLC is, and where I will sometimes just shut a conversation down and just kind of move on, because I don't have an issue being gruff with people. I know I live in the Pacific Northwest, but I'm not passive aggressive, or at least I'd like to think that I'm not. Like if we're not having a student-centered conversation, like I will just put a line in the sand and be like, hey, we are talking about things that are not important to the students right now. And
yeah.
I there are things that are important to the adults that then impact the students, right? Like if you're not feeling like your administration appreciates you, or if you're not feeling like you're being given the space to work in your classroom in a way that gets you excited and allowing you to do the things that are going to, like, where that energy is going to transfer to the students, those things are valid. They're very much worthy of being brought up and being focused on. But ultimately, my belief is that as teachers, our job is to serve students within reasonable, you know, parameters. You know, I'm not going to wake up at midnight and go take a kid somewhere because they need something, because that would be unprofessional. But, and that's like there's a boundary to things, but like ultimately that's our job, right? The name of the game is to serve student needs. And so that will be the one thing where I will actually stop a conversation to be like, whoa, guys, like we are talking about something that has zero impact on our students and, or is going to actively harm our students because we're worried about ourselves. And that's, Like, that's a non-starter for me. So it's interesting because I feel like those two things, the non-productivity and the not talking about student needs, are often very closely connected in my experience, right? Like, it's usually when we get caught not being productive, it's because we're talking about things that don't really actually help students.
Well, and I think the flip-flop to that, to come back to like why your connection activity and what we're talking about is so important for the collaboration piece, like the more we stay like kind of on task, the more that we are student focused, I think the more that each teacher lights up and shares and contributes and collaborates, and they start to be like, oh yeah, like I was in Carico's class and I love the way that they connect with, you know, their kid in this way. Like it's amazing that they still have four or five kids showing up on a Google Meet, even though we're in person, you know, like they're coming and getting this extra help and trying to get creative. And so then you're starting to, you know, give credit to other people and like all those things you're talking about come true. So when we can stay on task, I think that collaboration also like skyrockets. One of the other things I wrote down here that cracked me up was you were talking about the minute to minute agenda. And the first year you and I were coaching and we would get our daily agendas with 5 minute blocks of what we were doing throughout the entire practice. So I was like, Dave, I would love to see your like PLC agenda. And if it's got like 5 minute blocks like that.
But, not quite. I will admit that my practices are more, the details in the planning are a little bit more specific, more regimented than they are in a PLC. But I think, right, like different space, different expectations. And I think that's one of the things that I've been trying to learn is, right, like not everything has to be planned out like that. Where, like, I used to have agendas where it literally did say, like, okay, we're going to do our icebreaker for 10 minutes, and then we're going to do the next thing for 15 minutes. And now I've gotten much better at just saying, like, these are the three things that we need to have happen. And to your point about like how to set the stage, I do have one, like, I guess we can call it a connection activity that I found successful is when you're starting something new, like what you were just talking about, what I found to be really helpful to allow people to air their grievances or to acknowledge the uncontrollables or whatever, without getting stuck on them and having a whole 2-hour meeting be about the things that aren't going to solve anything, is to like have everyone just start out by saying, okay, what's one thing that you're concerned about with the work that we're going to be doing? And then what's one thing that you're excited about? And that helps like allow people to give air to what their things are. It gives you an opportunity to acknowledge that they're important and maybe put them in, you know, we hear that term, like the parking lot was a thing that I remember at North Shore all the time, right? There would be a little space on the whiteboard where they would like drop things in on things. So like, you know, you can put those things there and maybe come back to them at a later point, but that is a pretty decent strategy that I have found. I've seen it used a couple times and then I've used it a couple times since then that does allow for that balance of let's be productive and let's acknowledge the things that are frustrating about our job. Cause to pretend that there's things that aren't frustrating would be pretending, and that's not helpful.
Right. And I think the more I've tried to learn about my own tendencies and my own behavioral patterns, the more that I recognize that like I'm very much there's a problem, let me solve it now. And I've also recognized and have learned like that's very much like a masculine energy thing, right? Like not a male female thing, right? But like a masculine energy thing is like, I got to get stuff done. Like I'm here to problem solve. And then there's other times, you know, and more feminine energy that's more like, no, like I've been absorbing, I've been soaking this in and I just got to get it out. And I don't need a solution right now. I just got to get it out and just let it be there for a moment. And then, you know, we'll eventually go and have deeper conversations to find solutions. But like my listening skills have improved a little bit.
Just because marriage will do that for you.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely got a lot of room for growth still. Growth mindset.
For sure. Not there yet. Absolutely. Yeah. But the fact that you're realizing that, I mean, so like speaking of like that same thought process, I think I've talked about Brené Brown and I think you had mentioned that you've seen her videos as well. She uses this term, like rarely does the term but or and yet like drive connection. Usually that drives disconnection. And so like that same idea is true when it comes to, and that's why I've really backed away from that idea. Like it's okay to whine as long as you offer a solution. I do think it's like, sometimes there's not a solution. Sometimes like that's not what somebody wants. And I do think that in our society, right, we do have some different norms around how to move forward with that. And what I'm finding with my students in particular, right, is that they want a challenge. Like that's one thing I really appreciate about this generation. There's a lot of things that are hard that are not necessarily their fault about working with this generation, but man, they are just unwilling to accept that, well, this is how things have always been done. Like they'll just call BS on that immediately. Right. And so being able to just acknowledge like, yeah, this thing happened. I'm angry about it. I'm frustrated by it. Please don't try and solve it. Just acknowledge that I'm going through this right now and be here to listen is really what I need from you right now. So that's a part of being a good leader or a good member of a PLC, is to allow people to have that space and kind of follow their lead on whether or not they're seeking a solution or whether they just need to vent.
Right. I love that.
And I've gotten better at just waiting, right? If they don't like start talking about solutions, I'm not going to bring them up. I'm just going to be like, hey man, I'm sorry you're dealing with that. That sounds terrible. If it seems appropriate to like share an experience that was similar to kind of like make that connection, I will. But oftentimes it's just like, hey, that sounds really rough. I'm sorry that you're going through that. And then kind of just pause and let them do the next thing.
And a quick little add to that, because this is something that I've been practicing, is when I have that urge creeping up to just shout out a solution, I stop and I write it down, and then I look and I'm like, do they want the solution? No, I'm going to keep this one to myself. I'll maybe share it later privately in a subtle way, or I'll at least have gotten it out of my system. And I'm like, okay, I found a solution. I'm done. You know, and it doesn't need to be shared. I've learned that I don't have to share it. I don't have to speak.
I think that's a great place to end, right? Sometimes the best part of being in a PLC, or the best contribution that you can give to it in a PLC, is to give space to other people.
Yes, I love it. Well, appreciate the connection activities and helping us all collaborate better as teachers. And we look forward to seeing everybody back here on Thursday for our big idea.
Absolutely. Make it a great day.